Hey, I'm here with Jason Mann, and I'm so excited to spend time with you, Jason.
Hey Ellen, how are you today?
I'm good, and you are my go-to guy when it comes to staying in compliance, coming up with a good tax strategy, and ending the year strong. You are my favorite CPA.
Well, I sure appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be here. And to actually be here is a feat in itself. Seeing that yesterday was tax day, it's a good day today. The day after is always a really good day.
You're a good sport. You said, let me get through the 16th. Sure, let's meet on the 17th. So here we are. And you thought you had a day off. But just as we wrap up last year, we're looking at the end of 2023. So right now we wanted to grab you by the chin, dear viewer, and remind you that the end of the year is going to be here in about 15 minutes. And there's some things we could do now that will make tax season less stressful and perhaps maybe help you keep a little bit more money.
Absolutely. This is a great time to do this because the moral to the story today is you've still got time.
Yeah.
We haven't hit year end yet, and so you've still got a couple of months to try to get some things in order or make some plans, because when that calendar turns to 2024, then there's little that you can do about 2023.
Yes, and that's why we're here today. So, Jason, I know your pedigree, but maybe you could share a little bit with us as far as what your story is, where you've been, where you are now, and why you're so eager to help us.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So this is, gosh, year 29 for me in the CPA world, as we call it, doing tax accounting and compliance work. I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, have been all of my life, and really, I started in public accounting for a few years, and then got out of public accounting and went to work in a family office space, and now I assist folks in several realms of income tax compliance and planning, which spans from individual and trust work all the way through small business and entrepreneurship, work for partnerships and S corporations and C corporations. So a little bit of all of it is what I touch. So you've got so many different things inside of all of those different branches of tax, as we call it, that are critical features. And so what I try to do is I try to help folks that are in those different areas understand the rules, understand how to comply the rules, because the rules only get more complicated every year. And then try to make sure that they're doing what they can to properly run their business from an income tax perspective, which is its own thing. And that, it's all accounting is accounting. And some folks, accounting is literally looking at their bank statement and seeing if we have positive or negative cash in the account, which is unfortunately not really any way to run a business. But some folks, it's that's where it starts, and then they get more sophisticated with trying to keep actually good books and records, but then may not understand that there's then another layer from there that is income tax and having to report those items on a tax return, and what are the things that we can do to maximize the benefit of what you're reporting to either the IRS or a state government agency?
Yes. So thank goodness you're passionate about it because it makes me almost kind of collapse hearing about it. I know with my own personal journey, I had my head in the sand for a long time. I was one of those cash balance business owners, and we racked up a lot of debt, and it was very, very stressful. But luckily, my story is that I found a fellow business owner who taught me my asset from my elbow, taught me how to read and use a balance sheet and a profit and loss. And it was like the beginning of the beginning for me. And I almost became a preacher about it. Like, I couldn't wait to share that, like, this is the key, like, this is how you make money and grow assets. And I got very excited about it. One of the things I've learned along the way is to assemble what I call the bean team or the bean counting team. And that would be the folks in your life who are going to serve as your professionals to your responsibility as financial manager. So let me set the stage a little bit. When it comes to a business of your own, you really can't relinquish the responsibility of your money to anybody, no matter how great your CPA or your bookkeeper is. It's not their job. It's your job to know where the money is, where it goes, and figure out how to make more of it. But the professionals in your life, your bean team, can make things a lot easier, make it a lot easier to sleep at night and to stay ahead of things. So as the financial manager, you're going to work with your CPA. You're going to work with your bookkeeper. Maybe you're the bookkeeper. I had to be the bookkeeper until I could afford a bookkeeper. And I'm glad I went through that journey. But what I emphasize with our franchisees and with folks in my life is to operate from a known financial position, which means that your bookkeeping is accurate, it's current, and you understand it. Then you're using that information to make better decisions.
It's the only way that you really know how your business is doing.
Yes.
And that's really where it all starts. I mean, for folks that are starting new businesses, it's critical for them to understand financially where they are at that moment in time before they can even forward think into where they want to get. Everybody needs to have a plan. But if you don't have a foundation of understanding financially where you are as you're starting the business, then you're just trying to dig yourself out of a hole, it seems like, from day one.
And for me, the motivation was that. Like, it wasn't like I was thinking, I wasn't that smart at the beginning to think, I can't wait to make some money. I just fell for that old line, if you do what you love, the money will follow, which I found was not true. That you can do what you love, but one of your responsibilities is figuring out the money. So, you know, with that in mind is kind of our groundwork. Like, if we don't have sound accounting or if we don't have sound bookkeeping in place, then you're going to have to recreate what happened at the company by pulling together information, say, from bank statements or credit cards. So maybe like over your career, what are some of the things that you've done either by encouragement or accountability to make sure that your business owners do a better job at the actual bookkeeping and making sure that the information is somewhere sound?
Great question. So the first thing that I would recommend, and for someone that's just starting out, This should be easy, because as you're trying to put together all of the different fundamental, foundational things to start your business, and some of this may sound elementary, but that's exactly what it is. I would strongly suggest, number one, keep your records for your business separate from your records that you're running your personal life with. It's not that hard to set up a small business checking account with a local bank. And, you know, you don't and even with a local bank, a lot of those banks are willing to give you the account for free, and they don't charge you monthly service fees like some of the larger banks do if you don't keep a certain balance in the account and whatnot. But keeping the records separate helps you, number one, organize your business life versus your personal life, and B, give you a true understanding of what your business is doing, because all that you're looking at whenever you go to pull up your records is just your business. And so that's the first thing that I would suggest to do, is to make sure that you set up a system which includes a bank account and, you know, an accounting system, whether you want to use QuickBooks, or for some folks that maybe don't understand QuickBooks, are literally doing it from an Excel spreadsheet or something until they can get it to a point of, you know, doing QuickBooks. It's hard for people that are starting out, because not only are they maybe the bookkeeper, but they're also the person that's in charge of marketing, they're the person that's in charge of sales, and they're the person that's in charge of so many other payroll and so many other things, because they may not have a lot of the financial resources to go hire all of these people. And so they're wearing very many hats. And so it's critical that they try to do everything that they can to separate the two lives.
You know, and I think I wrote a couple of books, one called Where'd the Money Go? I wrote that book. It's thin, it has pictures, it has examples. It was really, I would have given my right arm for a book that showed me what's a balance sheet, what's a profit and loss, what's double entry accounting, you know, so I'll include that book as a freebie in our conversation today. But, you know, I think part of it is that you feel dumb. It's kind of like if you were in a room of Spanish speaking people and you don't speak Spanish, you feel dumb. Yeah. It's not that you're dumb. You just don't understand the language. And I think one of the really great things about you, Jason, and the good CPAs I've met over time is find a CPA who's willing to teach you the basics, to say, that's not a dumb question. I didn't know what vehicular depreciation was, you know? So some of the words are weird, and getting, you know, getting the information clear is helpful. In my book, I put a glossary of weird accounting terms because there's weird words here. So that can make you feel that can make you feel comfortable as you work with folks. Also, what you said about you know, separating a checking account and a credit card for business and personal. If you have more than one business, don't blend the businesses either. And QuickBooks is it's a learning curve, but it's a lot better than an Excel spreadsheet.
Yep.
Pony up. Go to the tutorials there. It's not, it's just, it's a course to study, but it's so worth it. But it was separate businesses. You do some real estate, have a separate checking account for the real estate. Because otherwise, to your point, Jason, you won't know if you're winning or losing if this thing is all mushed together.
Yep, absolutely. It's paramount in trying to understand exactly financially where you stand within your business. One of the things that you mentioned just a second ago that I want to make sure that everybody understands on the just finding a good CPA, finding a good tax accountant. Those folks are important, not just because I'm in the business and we're trying to sell services, but they're a partner in what you're doing within your organization. And there's someone that can assist you in helping you understand financially what your, you know, how your business is doing and how to maximize, whether it's deductions or how to maybe defer income if you can, that lessens the impact of, in my world, income taxes. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it allows you to keep more money in your pocket that helps you, your business thrive. So look at these people as a partner to you and not just a service provider that's some kind of just necessary evil in the process. Because they absolutely add value to, you know, to what you're trying to accomplish. And in a lot of instances, and I'll just throw this in as another example, you know, if you go out and get a loan, banks are going to require financial statements because they're going to want to know who they're lending to and what's the financial strength of someone that's trying to get a loan. And so having books and records is a must in order to do that. And so then having accurate books and records is really critical because you don't want to be falsely representing what your company, you know, financial position is when you're trying to obtain, you know, a loan from a bank, because if that was to go wrong, then you've got other potential legal problems associated with falsely representing your financial position within the company. So these people are partners in what you're trying to accomplish.
And so do you ever run into where, and I mean, you've probably got a pretty curated clientele at this point, but just in general, it seems to me like sometimes you can be the wrong target for someone's frustrations. Tell me how to work well with a CPA. In other words, what's some bad behavior to avoid? If I want to create a great partnership with my CPA, what should I not do?
That's a great question, Ellen. And one thing that folks are, and it's natural human behavior. Folks are sometimes reluctant to want to share information and understand that, you know, in many instances within your life, you know, whether it's hiring a CPA for someone that needs, you know, therapy, whatever it is, you've got to be able to open yourself up. And in this instance, open your financial self up to share information so that someone that's trying to help you actually has all of the information that they need to help you analyze. And so number one, it would be share all of your information. Make sure that they're getting all of the records, whether it's bank statements, credit card statements, things that you've done where you've gone out and, you know, purchased a company vehicle, even if you had to do it with like a personal guarantee or something in order to make it work. Just things that you, everything that you have that's attached to that business financially, you've got to be able to share, you've got to be willing to share that information. That's critical.
It's so vulnerable to do that. Like, even as you're saying that, like, that's scary, but you're not going to judge, are you?
No, I mean, it's private information, but if you find a good CPA, and I don't want this to come off as mean that a CPA doesn't care, but it's numbers on a piece of paper to a CPA. It's not, my gosh, this person's got X amount of money, or they don't have anything, or look at all that debt that they've got, or it, we're not judging anybody. We're trying to help, and B, it's numbers on paper, and we're trying to solve for whatever we're trying to solve for, whether it's produce a set of tax financial statements, whether it's put together a tax return, whether it's trying to put something together for a lender so that they can get a loan. It's solved for using information. And so I hear you, and it's a good point, because folks a lot of the time are scared and they don't like sharing because they're now having to disclose parts of their personal lives. But just understand that a good CPA sets all of that aside and is literally just trying to do whatever they can to help you and help your business.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that. Now let's get to some like practical tips. Here it is, the end of the year. I imagine we should set up a meeting with our CPA, with our bookkeeper, and go line by line down the balance sheet, the profit and loss. I used to do this with a smiley face if I knew it was right, a frowny face if I knew it was wrong, and a question mark if I didn't know. And that would be my audit. Does that make sense?
It does. That's a great place to start, is to sit down with your bookkeeper. I would say your accountant, your bookkeeper, just someone that's maybe managing the day-to-day financial picture of the company, and have them produce a financial statement so that you can look at it. And as you said, go line by line and just look at the balance sheet, look at the assets, look at the liabilities, and then look at the P&L, revenue and expenses. And just at a very high level, does all of it make sense? And I don't mean make sense, meaning that does all of it, like, can we properly interpret it? It's more of, does anything look out of whack? Like, yeah. Wow, what is this line item sitting here on our balance sheet? You know, I don't even know what that is. Or wait a minute, why is our, you know, our auto total at, you know, $26,000? We purchased two new vehicles last month. That should be at least $100,000. Where's that at? How are we showing $40,000 worth of debt? We just closed a loan 2 weeks ago for $200,000. You know, or we had some big contract come in and we just got paid a big amount of money last month, yet that's not showing up here. Sometimes those are things that are just, did we incorrectly book something? Sometimes it may be a red flag as to what's going on here, and are we behind? Is somebody getting behind in posting things, or did we incorrectly post something, or did something not even make it into the system? That's a whole separate conversation. But the point being, sit down and at a high level, just look at your balance sheet and your profit and loss statement to see if it seems to make sense.
I love this so much. Can you hear my dog barking?
I did once.
I'm trying to turn it off. I'm trying to mute it.
He's getting excited with the conversation, Ellen.
Let's help me with the taxes. But you know what came up there is like the spidey sense about it. If you're the owner, no one knows more than you. What you just described is that doesn't seem right. Your CPA, your bookkeeper, they won't know. And if you don't communicate to them, you're going to be the one to give them the thread to pull to figure out where it should go or where the mistake happened. And mistake, I've never looked at a set of financials that there wasn't at least one question about. And I've looked at a whole bunch in my life. I'm sure you have too. So we want to make sure that they're accurate. Some things too, at the end of the year, it tends to be like, I thought you were going to do it. Aren't you going to do that? You know what comes to mind for me almost every year with somebody is 1099s. Now, 1099s are when we pay subcontractors. There's rules about that too. Sometimes we're in murky waters on that. Yeah. And the other thing is that your CPA won't automatically do our 1099. So maybe 1099s is one that I've gotten in trouble with myself, and so have many others.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, let's start with the communication. That's one thing that I preach to the folks here in our firm every day, is just we have to continue to communicate with each other so that we understand who's doing what. And then we have to communicate with the clients to make sure that we're all on the same page with A, what's coming up on a timeline. Let me just take a little side left down a dirt road here for a second. Establishing a timeline of things, of due dates, and just things that are important to understand, you know, that go on throughout your business during the year, is something that someone should do. And this is probably a good time to think about that, just from the perspective of we're getting close to year end. But every year, to start a new year, folks need that are running the business and folks associated with the business need to look at, okay, what are the trigger points throughout the year from a financial perspective that we need to be aware of, whether it's a compliance reporting requirement or a lending disclosure requirement, whatever it might be. And so putting those dates down that are hard and fast on a calendar and sharing those with the appropriate people that need to know helps everybody stay on the same page. So
let me jump in on that, because okay, we have, and I'll include this in the show notes here, we have a year-end checklist. It's an editable document. You, and during this meeting, it has some reminders about 1099s, estimated tax payments, you know, paying down debt, all of that on there, and you can customize it. And then to move that onto your Google or Outlook calendar, so important. So I'm going to include that, you know, in the show notes here too, to just get you guys started. Will be awesome. Helpful.
Yeah, no, that's critical. Okay, well, I'll get the car back on the road here. Let's talk about.
No, that was a good dirt road. Okay. You sound like you're from Texas. I know you are.
You know that I am. Okay. All right. So 1099s here. You're correct. We won't get too tax technical, but, you know, the IRS loves to debate whether or not someone's an employee or a contract worker.
Yeah.
And, so let's just get past the are they a contract worker and assume that for this conversation that they are.
Okay.
And so we've got reporting requirements for those folks that are due right after year end. Most of the folks I would assume that are associated with the businesses that we're talking about here are going to be filing the business itself is going to be filing what is called a 1099 NEC, non-employee contractor, and which is, there's several different types of 1099s, but 1099 NEC is the one that we want to specifically talk about here. Those forms are required by the company to be issued to the contractors by January 31st of the subsequent year following year end. And so in our case here, January 31st, 2024, anyone that made $600 or more as a contractor is required to receive a 1099 from the company, so that individual contractor can report that on their personal income tax return. And there's a form that has to be sent to the IRS and a form that has to be sent to the contractor. If those forms are not filled out and sent to those two respective parties, there are penalties per form if the IRS was to come in and audit your company. And those penalties can range anywhere from $50 to $290 per form. So if you had 40 different contractors out there, and let's just say that you just didn't know that you were supposed to do this, and you know, the January 31st comes and goes, and let's just say that you file your federal tax return in March or April, and you've got a line item on your tax return that says, you know, $200,000 paid to contractors. The IRS may look and say, well, let's just go cross-reference against our 1099 system to make sure that we've got some 1099s on file. We don't see any under this employer identification number for this particular business. why don't we send them a note and say, we'd like to come visit them and see if they can help or they can produce 1099s that they filed on these people. And then the business says, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Well, what is a 1099 form? And unfortunately, the IRS isn't very lenient on I didn't know, because they assume that if you're a business owner, that you'll go through the proper education and knowing how to run a business from a tax perspective. So if it's $50 per 1099 and you had 40 of them that you needed to file, well, you're at a $2,000 penalty with the IRS and didn't even know it. And now all of a sudden that's $2,000 that you've got to write a check for the IRS unless you can beg forgiveness, which is its own headache. And that's money that's coming out of your ability to run your business.
Well, and let's pause right here for a little tactical tip. In QuickBooks, you can indicate if a vendor is a 1099 vendor, and then you can run a report. You can even, if you choose to, or your bookkeeper, your accountant, can run those reports right out of QuickBooks, or may have another report. I think there's a couple things to take note here. One is, if you don't ask your CPA's help here, your CPA may assume you're doing it. So if you need help with that, that's why I'm saying this is where it's just gotten forgotten before. I thought you were doing it. So that's something to keep in mind. Also,
That I would mention, Ellen, and again, not to get too tax technical, but for folks that are going to watch this, you know, as they jot down maybe some notes of things to just think about if they're just starting up, one thing that will trigger that 1099 filing is if someone's starting a business and they hire someone to help them in any capacity that's not in the form of an employee but a contractor, there's a form called a W-9. And that W-9 form is a form that you issue to the person that you're hiring to do the contract work that requires them to give you their name, their address, and their social security number. Or if they're a business, their name, their address, and their employer identification number. And so that you have that information on file, you could then populate that into your vendor system in QuickBooks so that when you run this report after year end to say, who all do I need to be kicking 1099s to, you've already got the population of information you need to be able to send them the forms that you're supposed to send them. And you're not trying to hunt these people down all over creation to figure out where are they and how do I get them this form.
So good. And then, although, like you said, we don't want to go too deep. The problem with 1099 players is that if they are not legitimate businesses and paying their own taxes, then what can happen? The risk to you is the IRS would come back to you and say, wait a minute, these aren't corporations. They didn't have an employee identification number. You're now not only responsible for not filling out that 1099, you now have to pay their payroll taxes. That's how it gets really crazy. So be really aware with the subcontractors. Again, for the sake of our message today, subcontractors are definitely on your table for conversation when you meet with your CPA, because that can be one that we get into trouble on.
Absolutely.
Now, another thing with payroll too, I like to bring this up. You have to make sure that the way you pay people is legit and that it will pass muster if you ever got an employee tax audit. So this is a good time to also, even though you use Paychex or Gusto, it's sometimes they have some small print that says, hey, we didn't make up how they paid this guy. We're not responsible for whether or not they're doing everything right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You'd like to hope that when you hire these services to run payroll for you, that they know what they're doing and that you can somewhat, from a business perspective, put that on autopilot because you're paying for this service. But, you know, we encountered a situation here not long ago where the service that we had signed up, the fine print of that service said that they would run payroll for us for this particular company for each payroll period. But then when it got to year end, and this just, it floored me that this could even be a part of a payroll company's fine print. They would produce the forms that summarize payroll by employee for the year and give that to you in the report that you're supposed to file, say with the IRS, to report annual payroll and, you know, the taxes that you're paying and withholding and paying on these employees. But they themselves did not submit that report to the IRS. They had the ability to, but under the plan that we had signed up for, it didn't include that service. And so therefore, when the business filed its federal tax return in reported wages and payroll taxes, it triggered a notice from the IRS because they had never received the payroll tax report to support the wages that were on the tax return. And it's all because the payroll company and the company had not, you know, hashed out who was filing the payroll report. You know,
so this is another reason why just a good CPA will go through the checklist, are we sure, and make sure. And sometimes you don't know until you get the notice, and it can be really scary. So bring that to your CPA. I know I've like with, you know, is this terrible? And they're like, no, it's just a standard form. But like, you still want to show it. You want
to
show
it to your CPA. Well, part of those documents and records that the CPA is going to ask for, when they're going to prepare your tax, you know, prepare your tax return for you, one of the things they're going to ask for is your payroll reports.
Yeah.
Because they want to marry up to that number when they're filing the tax return.
Yes.
And this would have, you know, if the CPA had asked that question as a part of the checklist very early on, and the company would have said, I don't know, let me go ask the payroll company for it because we don't have it in our records. Payroll company would have said, well, that's not something that we provide. You need to do that on your own. Then all of this would have been figured out very quickly.
Right. And if we start now, we still have time while we've got a couple of months left in the year to get our ducks in a row. So you're making me feel so much better. What else are some tips that you might give someone as they're wrapping up 2023, looking forward to 2024, and want to make the whole tax season much less of a headache, not only for themselves, but for the great Beam team that they've assembled?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously the communication, as we've discussed before, just getting a meeting on the calendar with your CPA before year end. I would suggest before December 1st. So you've really got, 6 weeks to get this meeting on the calendar so that you meet with your CPA by the first part of December. And if there's something that you and the CPA identify that could be done that would be helpful to the business before year end, well, you've still got 4 weeks. You know, a lot of people in our business, you know, try to stay in front of things, especially this time of the year, knowing that the holidays are coming up and the days just go so quickly when they get interrupted with holiday travel and people taking time off and whatnot. And it seems to become a little bit more difficult to get things done just because you're dealing with a reduced staff or reduced availability of folks. And so, again, get that meeting on the calendar. I think that once you've got that meeting on the calendar, that is going to allow for the review of the financial information and then possibly some planning that can be done for things that you might consider before year end. You know, one of the things that I preach to folks that are in the in small business and starting up new businesses, you know, what we try to do is we go through their financial picture and look at all of their really on the expense side. Revenue is what it is. It's not really hard to miss the revenue. But on the expenses, we want to look at what all they're spending money on and try to make sure that we can get a tax deduction for most of, if not all of that. And even if there's things that they've had to, in the beginning, maybe put on a personal credit card just because they didn't have their business credit card set up yet, or they had to run through and just, you know what, I had to pay for this just to get it, you know, in the works, or I had to put a deposit down on this, so I just wrote a check out of my account. Going through and identifying that information and capturing that information that may be outside of, you know, the parameters of the business financials can be incorporated into the business if it's known. And so having those conversations is something that's helpful and helps, you know, make sure that we're dealing with a complete picture. And so that we know that everything that we're spending money on, hopefully we're, you know, getting a tax deduction for it to reduce the potential income tax you have to pay. The income tax world versus the accounting world it's almost like you flip the page, because when you're dealing with your financials, you want your balance sheet to be strong and you want your P&L to look really good. And you want to, you know, show as much revenue and income as possible so that you've got this healthy balance sheet, so that if you needed a loan or you're looking to maybe do a merger or something with another company and you're, you know, wanting to present a very strong financial picture. Whereas when you get to the income tax side of things, well, you're wanting to show as little profit as possible because you're having to pay tax on that profit. And so what can we do that's what we call these book to tax differences that we can potentially create to lower the income or address some expenses from an accelerated standpoint to maybe drive down the tax profit so that maybe we're not having to pay as much income tax. A lot of this becomes a timing game, because at the end of the day, it's still the same financial data. But is there something that we can do that will benefit us from an income tax perspective, you know, that might deviate a little bit from just the accounting books and records?
That, I think you said that better than I've ever heard it before, because I think some people have assumed, well, that's like two sets of books and that's duplicitous. It's not. It's the same information. It's just a conversation or note about some of those expenses that may be a one-time startup expense, or it might be, a personal bonus that may not be ongoing in a future setting. I think you said that really, really well. And it depends too, and this is a good conversation to have with your CPA. It depends too on what your game is. Like, if you want to sell your company, you're going to be looking at different decisions than if you want to keep it for the next, I'm not going anywhere for the next 5 years. And so I want to, you know, represent as low of a profit line as I can, maximize my tax strategy, maybe a different, you know, construct from if we are like, I'm done, I'm ready, I'm looking for someone. And, you know, there's a time, and you've probably lived through this, I know I have, and some of my franchisees, I hope to have these conversations, where first you're not making any money, and that's easy. And then you start making money and paying taxes, and it's like, man, I got a lot bigger, but I don't have a lot to show for it, because now I have to pay taxes on that. So the game really is to get big enough that you can pay your taxes and still have plenty left over, right?
It's hard. It is, and it's hard sometimes in those early years, because even if you start turning a profit, you start looking at potentially expanding the business to grow the business. So you're not probably pulling a lot of money out of the business, and you may be reinvesting, to try to grow the business. That can lead to deductions that help drive down the tax P&L. But it's something that I loved your comment there, because it is. It's depending on where you are in the lifespan of your business might give you a different lens that you're looking through as to how you want to, potentially address certain items within the financials.
Well, you are wonderful. And I want to bring our conversation to a close, but it's not going to be the last time you and I talk, because I get so much out of our conversations. That's why we're going to keep doing this. So selfishly, I love visiting with you, Jason.
Well, I look forward to it every time we can. I'm passionate about this. And it's all about trying to help folks.
And that's, that's
our firm set up to help small business and really try to, you know, make their lives a little easier in the arenas where we, you know, consider ourselves to be, I don't want to say experts, but to be, you know, very knowledgeable, because there's so many touch points. We've just talked about federal, you know, for folks that are dealing in states that have state income taxes, that's an entirely separate breed of cat that at some point in time, maybe we can talk about, but
Yeah, well, really, I think one of the things I wanted to communicate is this is the kind of conversation you want to have with your CPA. So thanks for being such a great representative of your fine industry.
Well, thank you as always for having me, and I look forward to doing this again. I will hold you to that, Ellen.
Okay, we'll do it. Thanks, Jason.
Okay, take care. Have a good week.
All right.